All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back again. Another episode, another wild weekend of sports. I mean, it was wild and it wasn't wild at the same time. We're going to kick it off today with the travesty that was and that has become, unfortunately, the NBA All-Star Weekend. The sad reality about this was that it was held in arguably one of the most historical, important places in basketball, in terms of basketball history, in the state of Indiana. And yet, although it was filled with all-stars and monsters, it fell flat on its face and just really embarrassed the history and the league of basketball. It was pretty pathetic. I mean, everyone's been talking about it all week. You know, Stephen A. Smith had his say, Shannon Sharp, J.J. Redick went off, a bunch of ex-pros went off. Stephen A. Smith was absolutely ripping into the whole format of the whole weekend, not just the game, but even the dunk contest, the three-point shooting, and everything else like it. And you know what? We watched some of it. It was bad. It was tough to watch, hard to swallow. And it really makes you wonder where they're going to go from here. Like, I mean, it was a bad weekend all around, but I'm going to let Chris and you, Alino, jump on in. We're going to dive in and talk about it because we're probably going to talk about it ad nauseum probably. But it needs to be talked about because no one could have thought that this was possible for the NBA of all-star games and weekends to get as low as the NFL and the Pro Bowl, because that's what it feels like. That's what people are saying. I mean, that's what Stephen A. Smith said this week. So, Chris, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, there's no competitiveness anymore with the All-Star game. I tried to really watch it. We were at Artem's house, so we're sitting down. We're catching up with him. The game's on in the background, and you know, Alino, you see Adam Silver before the game, Larry Bird before the game. Like, yeah, I want to see a good game here. And when they mean good game, they mean competitive game. Guys that actually want to, you know, defend, they actually want to make a name for themselves. Guys like Jalen Brunson, guys like Halliburton, guys that are, you know, growing in this league to be maybe not faces of the league, but faces of their franchises. And it just fell flat. You're allowing 200 points in a game. It's absolutely absurd. It's a fucking joke at this point. We saw in the fourth quarter, literally ISO Karl Anthony Towns, just give him the ball and he's going to go score. 50 points, nothing to show for it. Didn't really matter. And to me, the biggest disappointment for me was LeBron James. Now, he said he was managing an injury. It was a nagging injury. We talked last week, Sabonis should be in the All-Star game. You're telling me he's going to miss out on $1 million incentive for LeBron to play 10 minutes? Like, that's fucking terrible. So, there's no competitiveness. The NBA has tried everything to try and improve this. They went back to East and West. Then they had captains drafting their teams. Then they did this. Then they did that. And it's like the players just don't give a shit. And why should they, right? Like, they're just there to fuck around. And yeah, you could say, well, you know, put incentives on it. Why the fuck should they put incentives on it? These guys are getting paid $180 million. Like, the average all-star in this game, I believe, was getting paid at least like $35 million a year, at least. So these guys are honestly just there for the fame, for, I don't know, just another tick to their resume when it's all said and done. Oh, I'm an 8-time All-Star. I'm a 10-time All-Star. LeBron's a 21-time All-Star. So to me, it's a joke. Alino, what do you think about it? I just think at this point in time, I didn't really talk much about the skills comp and all that. We'll get to that.
We'll get there, yeah.
In terms of the game, to me, this might have been the worst one I've ever watched out of all of them.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. You both nailed it right there. And like, from a competitiveness, like, you can have Larry Bird come and say, oh, you guys need to try. They don't give a shit. Like, they're not going to say, oh, yeah, okay, old man. Thanks for the advice. Like, we're playing here just because, like, we want to hopefully appeal the game to kids watching. But this whole game, the draft thing, I think, you know what? Maybe they should just bring it back because, hey, guys, they could go get drafted. Maybe their friends draft them, a little bit competitiveness, a teammate on the other team. But yeah, this East versus West thing didn't work. And I saw a lot of complaints online about, like, oh, maybe they should add the incentive of the playoffs being whoever wins it hosts it. But what if like the 15th place team is like, why do I got to play for the playoff guys to host the finals? Good for them. And it takes away the whole regular season, because why is the team going to even care after? It makes it meaningless, because if you come in first place, you win that President's Trophy, basically. That's a whole incentive of that, to play for the whole playoffs at home. So I think the only thing that might be realistic that they should really consider, I even said about the NHL, 50% of the gate. So it makes up the players or partners in the league. And if the NBA, which we've seen in the past, they go in stadiums for an All-Star weekend, they can do that, make that the destination, have a full week off after that All-Star game. So like that, they go all out in the game. Winning team gets 50% of the gate in the stadium. I think you got to go to the egos here. You got to go to the money. And
you got to go to the egos, exactly.
That's, wow.
I mean, it's all about money.
No, no. But the sad reality of it is, like, you know, all these guys, you know, fight tooth and nail because they all want to be called all-stars. Yeah. But then when it comes time to proving that they're an all-star during the actual event that alludes to them being all-stars, they fuck off and they treat the game like it's a glorified layup line at the warm-up of a game. Like, you know, it goes to show you in a lot of ways with the amount of money that these guys are getting paid, it kind of runs true with football in some degrees, that has become more of a popular narrative in some regard, is that guys love... They don't love the game of basketball or love the game of football or hockey or baseball or soccer, whatever the game might be that they're playing if you're one of these great athletes. They love what the game has been able to provide for them or the way it's been able to change their lives, which in some regard holds true and is very important. But at the end of the day, if you're on your fourth fully guaranteed contract or max contract and you're already over $150 million in net worth, why the fuck do you need to make more money being an all-star when you retire one day? Hopefully you have a championship or two. If you're so fortunate to have one, you can then look back on your hollowed all-star career with, you know, maybe a first NBA all-star or whatever it might be. But like, I don't think giving these guys more money is the issue, because they've been given all this money and they've fucked off and gone the other way. Honestly, what I think needs to happen in some regard is either... you give them an option if they want to fucking play in it or not. If they do, it's whatever's in their contract when they sign with their team. Otherwise, you don't have to fucking participate in it, and we'll figure something out. Whether it's Team World, including Canada versus United States, so the United States players can be humbled and get their ass kicked by the rest of the world, because they're not going to beat a world team, including Canada. They won't. But it's just one of those things where it looked really bad. Like, your best player should care about moments like this, especially with the history and the fact that it's so important to the game, especially when you look back on some of the greater all-star games of the past, like even before our time. Those games were nuts because of the competitive edge. Clearly no one's competitive. Chris, you hit the nail on the head. But I mean, there were some positives this past all-star weekend, whether we want to believe that or not. I mean, like, you know, Dame was on fire, whether it was winning the three-point contest or dropping bombs from 40 or 50 feet during the game. He won the MVP as well. I mean, Steph Curry versus Sabrina, I thought leading up to it, I did not have any expectations for that whatsoever, but it was intense. It was money. Like, what were your guys' thoughts on that?
Yeah, I thought it was actually, the way they built it up, maybe next year they do it an ongoing thing, and maybe they allow her to join the field there in three-point contests. I think they should do that because, like, I know Kenny on the broadcast, it got a lot of heat for that. I think I know what he was trying to say. Like, why isn't she shooting from, like, that WNBA line? Because maybe she would have beaten Steph if she's going for where she's accustomed to shooting. So I get Kenny got – it sounded bad.
He came from a good place, though. Yeah. Like, and I think the sad thing was so many people rushed to the – defense of Sabrina, where it's like, no, Sabrina's a bona fide hooper. She can shoot from anywhere, and if she probably did shoot from her three-point line, she would have beat Steph.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like without a doubt. So they leveled the playing field. She lost by a bucket or two. She's able to hang and she could hoop. So I feel for Kenny because the keyboard warriors got a little too excited there.
Yeah, and you know, just kind of looking at like I think you should, if you're going to do Sabrina and Steph, like moving forward, maybe you could add maybe the top three WNBA shooters in the world, and then you have five of the best three-point shooters. If you want to like not do 2 3-point contests, you want to just do one, that's fine. I think they need to start integrating something new into the Saturdays, because like I'll talk more about positives in a sec, but man, like Saturday was fucking garbage. They have to reinvent something, and I think it is competitiveness. So I think you need to add a one-on-one tournament. They've been saying this for like 2 years now. Guys like Luka, guys like KD, guys like Ja Morant, like these guys that are ISO scorers, they could thrive. And you know what, man? You talk about incentive. Maybe the winner of that gets maybe $500,000. It gets a nice big pot, a nice big bonus. Like Nick said, if you don't want to do it, don't take the invite. Look at guys like Sid. Look at guys like Ovi in their lives. They easily, like Sid could easily have, I think, like what, like 17 all-star appearances. I think he has like 7 or 8. So I think the one-on-one tournament has to be done. I did like the three-point contest with Sabrina and Steph. I thought that was probably the highlight for me, because we saw Steph actually try. It wasn't something where, like, Sabrina went first, which I respected. I thought maybe if Steph went first, maybe he wouldn't have tried as hard. But Sabrina freaking nailed it. She tied Dame's score that won the three-point contest. And then Steph's like, I got to remind everybody who the best shooter of all time is. So I loved Steph. I loved how he was actually competitive in this this weekend. But guys like Anthony Edwards, guys like Scottie Barnes in that skills comp.
I'm sorry. I'm all for guys like Scotty wanting to have fun and show that it's a good time, but that's not good for basketball. That skill, they got to get rid of that skills competition. You know what would be fun? You know, Chris, you're talking about competitiveness. Saturday night, you do this. You get a 3-on-3 tournament going where you have two teams from each conference. You make it 5 players on each team. So you get 10 guys from each conference, 3-on-3 game. You know, you do winners play each other. The winner wins whatever the fuck money or whatever you want to give it. And then you have like a King's Court where you have a one-on-one contest and you have those guys play each other. Winner of King's Court wins $250,000, $500,000. Give them a car for like, it doesn't have to be money. Give them the amount of sponsors. You could probably get like Cadillac to give one of these guys a fucking Escalade or something like that, even though they can afford it. Just give them something else. It doesn't have
to be. Give them a fucking chain.
Like, I don't fucking know. Like, I do think though, like, you know, NHL with embracing overtime and then having the 3-on-3 thing in the All-Star game. Sure. Is it the most entertaining at times? No, but it's more dynamic and it can give more of a schoolyard pickup kind of thing. Like, there was a quote from Kobe from years ago in a podcast talking about how a couple of years after he retired, how bad some of the All-Star games got. And he even said, he's like, yo, some of these guys go harder in a gym at UCLA playing pickup when no one's watching than when the whole world is watching you try to prove to everybody that you're the best in the entire league to be an All-Star MVP. Like, it's wild. Like,
yeah, and, you know, even adding to that, I think the thing that really upsets the really hardcore fans is, you look at the history books, right? We always kind of look back at history. Like when we talk about greatness, we talk about Michael Jordan. We talk about greatness. We talk about Wayne Gretzky. We talk about the greatest to ever do it. Kobe Bryant has had a record in All-Star games. And that, you know what that is? That's points. You know why? Because he fucking goes hard. He shut down. I'll never forget that. I think it was the 2012 game. He literally played full court defense on LeBron James the whole game.
Yep.
The whole game. And now you're like 200 point game. You're going to see a guy all time fucking All-Star game point leader. It's going to probably be like Halliburton or someone like that in like 10 years when they're 1500 points ahead of Kobe because of these games. Like they got to fucking change they got to change it because this is just not good. We saw on Adam Silver's face, man. He literally brings out the award. He's like, congratulations. Here's your award for scoring the most points. Like he looked fucking pissed off.
He was visibly, you could visibly see, and
He's usually a cheerful guy. Yeah. Like he's a guy that'll promote this shit.
In comparison to all the other like commissioners of the major four leagues, he's always, you know, when he's happy, he's got a smile on his face. He's proud of the guys that he represents for the league and wants to make it better. And the guys that he thought he could rely on and trust in, they fucking let him down like horrendously. And apparently I saw this on it was Twitter or it was Instagram. And I'm going to take it with a grain of salt, but I do believe it to be rather true in some way, because knowing how important Indiana is to basketball history, it makes sense that these events probably happened. I saw something, it was Schefter or Woj said something in the light of pre-game, the individuals like Andre Iguodala, Julius Erving, and Larry Bird went into both locker rooms and emphasized the importance of making this game a competitive game, not just for the sake of Indiana, the All-Star game, but for themselves and the NBA so that it can shine and they can shine. And it's almost like they took those words from some of the more important people in basketball history and they said, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to crumple up your script that you want, throw it in the garbage. Too fucking bad.
Yeah, it's what Alino said at the beginning. Yeah. Like Larry, I guarantee you, Larry Bird. Like, no, like, so he came out, what? It was like the Friday night. He's like, I want this game to be great. He fucking, like, I'm pretty sure he was an ambassador. Like, he had the mic in his hand. Like, I want this game. And
Larry Bird's all the from
guys
Indiana.
All the guys are just there, like, yeah, you could say what he's from the fuck Indiana. You want, but it doesn't fucking matter. I want to get my 50 points and that's it. So, like, the only bright spot for me in the game, like Dame Lillard, balled out. Tyrese Halliburton, with the spotlight on him in Indiana, he fucking shined. Guys like Reggie Miller were raving about him. And you love to see Reggie Miller. That guy's he was an animal. So, but other than that, like during the game, Luka Doncic and Jokic, you got to love them in the regular season. When it comes to the fucking All-Star game, it's like they're going to the fucking grocery store. You know when kids are like throwing apples at each other? Like that's literally what it looked like there.
You know what it reminded me of in a way? It's like when you go
Big to, brother, little brother.
You go to gym class in high school or even in elementary school and you know you got a supply teacher and it's like, okay guys, I'm going to wheel out a bunch of balls from the room and you guys got free period. The basketball nets are down. Just don't kick the crap out of each other. And you know, they're just fucking around throwing lobs to each other like it's whatever. And it's sad because they're arguably two of the best they could be considered the best players in the league at their positions. And you know,
just probably the best players in.
They're taking it. They're taking it like it's fucking pickup, and it's funny to see because it's nice to see a lighter side of basketball. But it looked very bad, not just on them, but also on the league.
I mean, like again, like Alino, I want you to kind of emphasize. And I saw a play there in the All-Star game when Trae Young nutmegged Kevin Durant.
Oh, that was hilarious!
Man, he looked pissed off, and I love that. I was like, okay, is Kevin Durant gonna go down and fucking dunk and like start? And he never did. So I'm like, fuck. I just wanted to see, like, again, so I'm going to bring up the fucking Rising Star game. You guys all saw what happened with Benedict Mathurin, yeah. Where he's like, you can't guard me. You can't guard me in the regular season. You can't guard me here. And you saw Jaden Ivey.
It was
like,
good.
He got fucking pissed off. And the best part about Jaden Ivey's reaction was he knew Benedict was mic'd up. Yep. So he easily could have said, you know, go fuck yourself. But he was smart enough to look at, he's like, okay, he's mic'd up. Jaden Ivey looked, I've never seen him more focused in my fucking life. I mean, he plays for the Pistons, so how focused can you be when you're
having a rough
when year. You're fucking 10-47, whatever the hell they are.
Laughing stock.
But just that type of trash talk, the competitiveness. Can somebody like Kevin Durant do that or Kawhi? Like, I would have loved to see Kawhi Leonard go full out and just like start doing his fucking, you can't guard me. And then all of a sudden you have guys like fucking, I don't know, like Lillard trying to beef him. And it's like, we just need to bring that back. Can the fact that Kobe Bryant is not with us anymore, can that like motivate you guys to fucking play a game?
Well, here's an idea. I mean, and this is an idea. Like I just thought of a few, you know, between thinking about how bad it was, knowing we had the show this week. Speaking to the mics that you mentioned with Benedict Mathurin, why don't you make that a thing then? Give every player that's on the court, or maybe not every player, because no, logistics...
That could be risky.
No, but...
Give it to Draymond Green. That's fucking television.
Give it... Pick maybe two or three players on each team and give them hot mics. if you want to do two on the court on each team and then one on each bench, no, you're going to have your audio team live in the truck. So you're going to be able to mitigate any issues that you can, because for the most part, you're operating on a bit of a delay.
Yeah.
So it can be managed. Give them hot mics and tell them, we want a little bit more trash talk, bring it. But remember, you're mic'd up. That will bring some intensity and some spark to the game. One thing that I think would be interesting is if they did have alumni ref the games for the All-Star game. Have Shaq, have Chuck, have Kenny, whoever ref the game. So then, you know what? There can be some trash talk back and forth. There can be some animosity. There can be some competitiveness. And then, you know what? For the sake of competitiveness, Chris, you brought it up. One of the probably the most competitive people to ever play in the NBA besides Michael Jordan and Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. Rename NBA All-Star Weekend to maybe you make it kind of like the Kobe Bryant Classic or like something in that regard, because of how much he meant to the players currently in the league and also to the NBA as a whole. And I think maybe you might have some guys that actually resonate and connect with that more, and they might want to play up a little bit for the event. Otherwise, do what the NHL is going to do next year and fucking scrap the whole thing and just have a fucking little mini world tournament, because that's what's happening with the NHL in 2025.
Thank God.
Instead of All-Star Weekend, it's going to be the best four World Cup or whatever the fuck it's going to be in place.
That's going to be fucking fun. Yeah.
But do something like that then. If you're so confident that the NBA has the best, that the Americans are still the best in the world. No.
They're not.
No, they're not. But it's all about their ego. If you can pump their ego enough, they'll want to do something. Do USA versus fucking, you can do Spain, Argentina, or like whoever your most prominent world teams are. Have those four teams and do a mini tournament just like the NHL. Or take into consideration your history, your 78 years of history, which isn't a lot, which is sad.
It's not. Yeah, you're right.
But think of how rich in history it is in comparison to other sports. There's so much history, yet these guys don't give a fuck about it. Like, try to make it mean something more. Connect to these guys.
Alina, what are your thoughts?
I think, you know what? You nailed it there. Michael Jordan, and you bring a fucking beef, and they're either Isaiah Thomas on the other side coaching or Scottie Pippen coaching, and they draft their own teams. You get to see which guy thinks of who. Who's going to pick Kevin Durant? Who's going to pick Kawhi? Who has a strategy? And during the game, you know they're going to tell their team, you better not lose and make me have...
Well, Michael Jordan's probably going to have like $100,000 on the game. Yeah, so definitely. He's going to be like, timeout. And the Hutter's like, you motherfuckers, what the fuck is wrong with you guys?
Before the game...
That son of a bitch.
I got the game, you have MJ 1,000 on this game.
Before the game, losing. You have MJ fucking announce Larsa Pippen as like the... Oh,
my God. Yeah, you'll go...
As a secretary?
Mental warfare right there.
That's low. Yeah, it's low. That's Michael Jordan, though. He'll do anything to win.
I like that, though. Like, if you have alum... They've done that before, though, in the past. You have alumni be the coaches, even though it takes away
from... Yeah, but they would fucking shake hands. You think Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas or Pippen would shake hands? They fucking throw daggers at each other game.
No, but that's the important thing. Like, I think in the past when they did it more recently, it was like Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas or something like
guys
that.
Guys who are on good terms.
Guys that are on good terms, but it's still, but those guys are competitive as hell, so they're not going to get along. But after the game, like, okay, yeah, I got the best of you. And it's like, yo, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, but we don't want that. Yeah. Michael Jordan doesn't want any of that.
Michael Jordan, I'd probably say hi to Isaiah Thomas. His last All-Star game, Isaiah Thomas was a coach. He's like, he shook his hand, like high-fived. I'm like, wait, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, you know what? I even think, you mentioned the four teams for that tournament, like the NHL. I think you just do Team World versus Team USA, the one game, and that's it. Let's give it another shot. Let's go like one more year with this NBA All-Star game. If they're going to fucking get 200 points again, you get rid of it. You do Team World versus Team USA. Team World has never been better since probably the early 2000s. Well, like you have Jokic, Doncic, Giannis, these guys.
You'd probably have to include Team Canada amongst that.
Yeah. I was going to say Gilgeous is probably starting point guard there. Doncic could play the three. You have Giannis, Jokic. Like, it's not fair. It's really an Embiid. Oh, Embiid wants to go to USA now. So
So we got Wembanyama. It's okay. You got Wembanyama, Jokic, Doncic, Shea. And
you guys are going to laugh at me, but Gobert's no slouch either.
No.
Defensively, he can shut. Dude, Gobert could eat Bam alive.
Oh, he easily off the bench.
Siakam.
Spicy P.
That would be something. That would definitely be something to see. The one thing that we didn't talk about yet, which doesn't deserve to be talked about, but we have to talk about because it was part of the weekend, was that horrendous slam dunk competition. I'm sorry. I know I could have left it under the rug, but I already know people would be like, you guys didn't talk about the dunk contest. You talked about everything else, but you didn't talk about the dunk contest. It's not worth talking about, but we got to talk about it anyway. Mac McClung, G League sensation. He was able to maintain and win his title for a second time. I mean, the dunks otherwise weren't that great that he had to go up against. He seemed like he was bringing some sort of original flair. The rookie from the Heat, Vasquez Jr., wasn't horrible. The one guy that should never be allowed to slam dunk a basketball again is Jaylen Brown, because that was absolutely horrendous. But I'm going to let you guys talk about that. I've had my say. Go for it, you know.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown, I didn't even know he was a dunker until this weekend.
He's not a dunker.
I saw him in there, and I'm like, you know what? Respect to him, when guys would go in before and knowing that Vince Carter was going to destroy them. Like, T-Mac didn't have to go in there. He gave it his all anyways. But I just think, like, this whole format, ever since Aaron Gordon got screwed over, I think it hasn't been the same. So, like, I don't know what they can do. Maybe, like, Chris, we were talking about before, like, you could bring dunkers from outside the NBA, but then it's going to bring, like YouTubers in, like Jordan Kilgannon, who comes in, good Canadian kid. He's going to ruin everybody because he's going to do dunks that no one's ever seen, and he's going to set the bar, get a 50, and it's over. So I don't know what else they can do with the dunk contest, because I think it may have ran its course.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail right there. Like, since the LaVine-Gordon 2016, that was freaking absolutely insane. Since that, you can't replicate what those two dunkers did. I mean, Aaron Gordon should have won that. That was the biggest robbery of all time. Dwayne Wade, how dare you? That was freaking awful. But I love D Wade. I have his jersey at home, so I'm not going to talk bad about D Wade. But I think at this point in time, when you talk about the dunk contest and the 3-point contest, we all know which direction the league is going in. 3-pointers are the fucking norm now. There's probably just under, I think it's about, I saw, it's about like 45 3-point attempts per game to about like the 53 2-point attempts. So like, this league is just becoming a fucking 3-point barrage. You can't get rid of the 3-point contest because everybody fucking shoots the three. Everybody loves it. That's the trend now. But in terms of the dunk contest, let's be real, guys. You're going to have two G League guys in this dunk contest. Like, what are we doing here? Are we just accepting failure at this point? You're setting yourself up for failure. I mean, I love Jaylen Brown trying to play hero, trying to be the, hey, I'm the guy that just got 350 mil. Maybe I'll try and save it. He was the fucking worst dunker out of all of them. And yeah, you know, it's cool bringing Shaq will always, he'll always involve himself in the dunk. I'm 7 feet tall. You could just dunk over me. That's a prop right there. But I got to give this guy Mac McClung credit. Like, the guy's a G Leaguer, went from Philly last year to Orlando. You would think he'd maybe sniff the NBA with, you know, the marketability with, you know, I'm pretty sure a couple of people in the stands had his jersey. I have that suspicion. But you're going to tell me that there's nobody else that can beat Matt, a white guy in the G League? Like,
come on now, big fella. You need me for a slam dunk? I'll stand in the lane for you. Just make sure you dunk over me, okay? Don't hit me in the head.
Like, I love how people just put together, like, oh, this is my fantasy dunk contest. Oh, I'm going LaVine, Gordon, LeBron, and Ja Morant. Go at it. It's like, you think LeBron's going to go in and he should have done it when he was 23. He's going to do it at 39.
One of the biggest detriments, actually, and I mean, Stephen A. Smith has talked about it. I feel like every year, every time All-Star Weekend comes around, he always throws it in LeBron James's face that he never did the dunk contest. And then when you look at the contemporaries that LeBron wants to sort of be around when it comes to it being up, you know, Kobe did it. Vince Carter did, like, all the real guys that were superstars and dominated the league at one point.
Did D Wade do it?
Yeah, D Wade did do it.
Yeah, he did do it. Yeah, he did.
He didn't, did he win? I don't think he won, but he did do it, and he did try. Like, you know, it's funny talking about the competitiveness and the history, like, Dominique Wilkins and Michael Jordan, I felt like for three or four years in a row, were the finals for the dunk contest, and they went back to back every year. And, you know, it would be Dominique 1 year, or it would be Michael, or whatever it was. But those guys knew that it's like, okay, all right, you got me last year, but I'm going to get you this year. Like, I don't give a fuck what it is. If you got to jump from the free throw line or the 3-point line, I'm going to try to beat you.
The 3-point line.
You know, just for the sake, just for damn. The sake, right? But like these
Wembanyama maybe could do it with the fucking reach he has.
Legs, yeah.
Jesus.
But it's one of those things where it's like, it'd be nice to see that. And it's sad that LeBron has never done it because some people might put that on like a bit of a thing against his legacy.
It's like black cloud.
Yeah. Like, yeah. What do you mean? It's the easiest dunks you'll ever do. You do them in warmups every game, but you don't want to do them in a competition. Like,
and here's another thing. Yeah. Here's another thing I don't fucking get. All, you know, people are like, yeah, you know, I don't want to try hard in the All-Star game because I don't want to get injured. Well, you can't get injured dunking a ball. I'm pretty sure you could fucking break your leg, tear your ACL. Like, what? These people have so much fucking, so many excuses, man. Like, I just think everybody so emotional when Kobe died. Oh, they're all crying, all this. 2020, we saw the fucking best fourth quarter All-Star I can ever remember. You remember how fucking intense that was?
Yeah, the score at the end there.
Like Chris Paul going to the ref, like what the fuck? Like that was amazing. And now 200 points, like, dude. Like, I'll never forget. I think it was like a month ago. They're like, yeah, we're getting rid of the score limit and the time limit or whatever in the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah, when they did it at the end. Where they say, oh, yeah, best to like whoever gets the 180 or something.
Yeah, so like as soon as I saw they got rid of that, I'm like, okay, this game's it's a wash. Yeah. This game's a fucking wash. So I don't know if Adam Silver getting rid of that expected them to be more competitive, which makes fucking no sense. But it's just, I don't know, man. Like to me, this All-Star game, the weekend in general has so many flaws to it. We talked about, I think a one-on-one tournament would be fantastic. Yeah. I mean, you could even bring up stuff that relates to people, right? Like would a horse challenge kill you? Like it's a little corny.
It might be, yeah.
Yeah.
The one-on-one though, if you get the right guys in there, like I don't think we'll see bigs in there.
I hope unfortunately, not.
Because
Giannis just two-step dunk.
Or you never know, like maybe Embiid doesn't like a point guard and he wants to prove that the big man can win that. I just don't think like his stamina after one game, maybe two, he'd be like, you know what? Okay, this is over. I think it'd be fun to get the point guards in, like a Halliburton versus SGA one-on-one. Yeah. And then you do like a little tournament like that. But maybe if they add something else, like the All-Star weekend, maybe get some college kids in there because that would be a good way to introduce the fans to like the next generation. If you get the slam dunk winner in the NCAA, you're like, this is your incentive. You get to go represent the NCAA in the NBA slam dunk contest. The hot shot on campus from whatever university goes in and plays amongst the NBA All-Stars and proves that he's the best slam dunker. Maybe that could be like a road to NBA type story.
Man, that'd be fucking dope. I you know what's funny? We talk about like remember Team North America in the World Junior, the World Championship in hockey. Oh, they had like the under 25 team. Can you see like? Because again, I think Adam Silver. We talked last week. I think about they're scared to introduce new faces to the league. Like you have Curry, who's like 35. You have LeBron, who's 39. Kevin Durant's 35. Like these guys are getting old now. Would you do, if you're Adam Silver and you want to test the market and you want to test the fan base, would you do a 30 plus like game and then do like a 20 plus game? Like 20 to 30 is like the max. You have that one game and then you have 30 plus in another game. Would you do that? Would you kind of test that? Cause I think it's definitely an experiment because I don't know if Adam Silver and the NBA is ready for the next wave. I don't think so.
I think they would, but they always throw the Rising Stars game like somewhere in between that celebrity game. And nobody even like really watches it. So they would have to really pump it up as like, this is going to be the next wave of stars coming in. Because everyone watches that Rising Star game. It's like, oh, okay, we just saw the celebrity game. Why do we have to care about the Rising Star game? So I think it's just one of those things where they have to experiment with new formats, maybe meet with the NBAPA every year as soon as they get the results of, okay, we did this well, like the TV number showed 4.6 million. How can we get to like 10 million? How can we get to raise the bar and make people want to watch and become a destination every single year?
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day too, I think the sad reality with these players is they know that at the NBA is probably, other than obviously soccer, it's probably the most global sport. Yeah. You could maybe argue that maybe MLB or NFL is maybe on par with the NBA, but like in Japan, in China, like Yeah. Basketball is massive.
And they have their own pro leagues.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they have their own pro leagues all over the world in Spain. Like, you see these superstars coming over from France, from Spain, like from wherever Jokic is from, Serbia, like everywhere. They're all over the map. So I think at the end of the day, the NBA is just an absolute global phenomenon. And I think eventually they'll hit 10 million. I'm not too worried for that, but just improve the fucking game, please. Like, it's just, like, talent is probably at an all-time high. You think about it, like, yeah, the 90s were great, a little more rough around the edges. The 2000s, they were legendary. But, like, you look at the all-in-all skill of each player, it's insane. Like, guys can shoot threes. Guys can cross your ankles. Guys can dunk on you. Guys can get triple-doubles every game. Like these guys nowadays are fucked. Like, I'd say maybe Giannis was the blueprint of, like, the triple-double. Obviously, you had Russell Westbrook as, like, the OG guy. Yeah. But, like, you have Giannis, you have Jokic, you have LeBron. Like, you have all these guys that just can do a little bit of everything. And now we're seeing it with guys like Haliburton. We're seeing it with LaMelo Ball. We're seeing it with Edwards. We're seeing it with so many different guys. So NBA's in good hands. It's all up to their competitiveness if they want to fucking do something about it. I think I'm going to put everybody in the NBA on the hot seat. Do fucking better and do better for Kobe Bryant. I think that's how we have to end the NBA there. But we're going to go on quickly. The Elimination Chamber is, it's this weekend, Alino. And
that could be true.
It could be true. And there's some hot stuff going on in the WWE. And you know what it is? We got Versace Rock back last week. Yeah. He's a heel. I mean, I think it's pretty fucking cool. Nick actually mentioned that he thinks that Hollywood Rock is one of the greatest heels of all time. And what we saw on the mic last week, it brought me back to when we were fucking seven. Like, what he was saying, I'm going to slap the herpes out your mouth, calling people fat asses, calling, you know, what did he say? He said something about, like, their 50 wives and their inbred sons. I'm like, this guy's on fire. So, Alina, I'll start with you. You know, with this Rock and Roman Reigns, I guess, alliance with now, we are going to see at the Elimination Chamber Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins be on the Grayson Waller effect. Do you think we get that Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins taking on Roman Rock at Mania, or do you think this is just kind of not even going to happen?
I think they're going to tease something. I think The Rock has to wrestle. If he's doing, like, all these camps and, like, getting his body into shape, I think he'll do it. Just because of that, but there's another part of me that thinks Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes on this whole thing, they're just going to announce that Seth is going to be in his corner on night two when The Rock and Paul Heyman and whoever else in the family decides to show up.
Seven people are with him.
any cousin that they pull out of the woodwork to show up in Roman's corner, so I think that's what they'll do, but I think The Rock wants to wrestle, so there's a good chance it happens.
Nick, I know you're not the biggest wrestling fan, but let's say we get a Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes versus Rock, Roman Reigns night one. And then you get both of them doing double duty. So you'd have, let's say, so again, at this pay-per-view, you're going to, there's a chamber to face Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. So let's say, you know, they still go with as planned. So you do Seth and Cody versus Rock Roman night one. And then night two, you have Cody versus Roman for the belt. And then the winner of the chamber versus Seth. Is that something that you think would benefit? Or do you think with how Seth's body has been, do you think they're going to either go with one or the other?
The crazy thing about it, it's like the double duty thing, everyone would be over the moon about, because it's like, okay, these guys are committing to these roles and what the story they're telling, and they're trying to captivate us. WrestleMania is the biggest moment in sports. Like, you know, it makes perfect sense. Is it going to happen? There's no fucking shot. Because I honestly think with the fireworks that we're getting right now, and The Rock hasn't wrestled yet. He's just been on the mic talking all the shit, riling everybody up, making everyone feel nostalgic, or even putting people into new, like, core memories of their childhood now for the kids watching. Whereas for us, we're watching, it's like, holy shit, this reminds me of The Rock in Toronto. This reminds me of The Rock and shut up, it doesn't matter, you stupid fatty. Like, all these different moments that The Rock has had polarizing our, like, WWE history. It's like, it's great. Are we actually going to get something out of it? That's the question. I think they're going to get the one big match on the second night, make it the moment that everyone's kind of been waiting for? Because I hope that's the case. Don't just give us The Rock dropping bombs on the mic night in, night out when he's on, and have everyone feeding the energy and living up to the moment. And then when the time comes for the moment, we don't get what we're expecting. So in order, I think, for us to get what we're expecting, we're going to get the one night big match, whether it's two of them on two on each side going against each other, or we'll have the one match. I don't know. I couldn't even tell you that right now. It seems like they're leaning towards a fatal four-way kind of fucking style, or a tag team match where it's two versus two and we'll see what goes. But like, Seth's body's fucking deteriorating. It's going to be a fucking shit show at this point. Like, I want the best thing to happen, and hopefully that's we get Rock maybe beats the fuck out of Roman. He turns on him, and then The Rock faces Cody or whatever the fuck is going to happen, because they need something polarizing like that to happen. To just kind of mail it in and be like, you guys are going to be on the same team now and you're both going to fight each other. And it's like, give us what we want on the last night of WrestleMania. Make it it's the main event. Like, go out on top. Like, make it the moment that it deserves, the event deserves and the fans deserve. Don't just throw it like you go to throw a water bottle out in the garbage, you hit the rim and it goes out and you're like, yeah, that would have gone in. I'm going to leave it on the floor. No, like, fucking pick that motherfucker up and dunk it into the garbage can. Like, do the right thing by the fans. They're doing it right now leading up to it.
Let's see how they finish.
Exactly.
Yeah. Got to execute on that.
Exactly. But, you know, we're going to quickly talk about the pay-per-view. I mean, you got Rhea Ripley versus Nia Jax for the world title. And Aleno, I mean, I hate to say the word predictable, but I mean, predictable. Rhea Ripley probably retaining, no?
I think this is actually, how crazy this sounds, I think this is going to be the main event. Like, the way they've been building this up, and the way Rhea Ripley, like, I turned on the Rogers Ignite box and Rhea Ripley's on the poster and that's showing on the thing. She's doing all the interviews, obviously, for being from Australia, but I think her being from there, the poster, just the amount of time they've devoted to this, which is way more than they should have on this feud, I actually think this is going to be a main event. And because they know that North American fans are probably not going to wake up at 6 a.m., they'll just watch it on like wherever later, I think this will main event.
All right. Well, I mean, shout out to Rhea Ripley. That girl's not only gorgeous, not only the world champ, but man, now main eventing pay-per-views. That's fucking cool. But then we're going to go next to the Judgment Day. Damian Priest, Finn Balor holding the Undisputed Tag Titles. They're taking on... This tag team should have fucking been up for like 2 years now, but hey, let's give it to them now. Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. Pete Dunne leaves the Brawling Brutes over there just to go and be with his longtime rival in NXT, Tyler Bate. Do we see the youngsters finally get that tag team titles, or do we get another kind of trashy finish with like a JD McDonagh, Dominic Mysterio interference here?
I wouldn't be surprised if R-Truth makes an appearance here, but I think they're probably saving it for Mania now. I think Damian Priest and Finn Balor get the win, and they're going to continue this because R-Truth now, he's got backup with DIY, or as he calls him, Shawn Michaels and Triple H, DX and The Miz in his corner. I think we're going to eventually see R-Truth and Damian Priest, and he has a briefcase. So if he were to cash in and win, I think that's the first one. First title match, R-Truth is getting it.
I love that. That would be fucking dope. I mean, shout out to R-Truth for, how old is he now? Like 50?
Yeah, he's got to be in his 50s now.
And he looks great. He's still entertaining as hell. Coming out in the Women's Rumble was fucking hilarious. Second time doing it in his career, by the way. But I agree. I think Judgment Day retains here. I think it's going to be close. But my biggest question is, you know, when is it going to be Damian's time to cash in? Because we talk about Seth, talk about Drew, talk about a lot of different contenders for Seth Rollins. We know Seth Rollins' body is kind of not holding up right now. Does he deserve a break? Absolutely. And is it finally time where you say, yeah, Damian, you're going to cash in. You're going to hold the belt for a while. Is it the right call here for Damian?
Yeah, I think time's ticking with this guy too. Like, he won at Money in the Bank. That was in July, I think.
It was, yeah.
They've had so many opportunities, especially when Rollins was feuding with Shinsuke. I think throughout that time, like Shinsuke getting all those losses, they could have had Priest maybe cash in, have the title for like 2 months, and then Seth could have easily won it back. So I think they're doing a disservice for this whole Money in the Bank.
I agree. And now we got to move on quickly. We got to go to the women's chamber match, winner facing Rhea Ripley or Nia Jax, whoever wins, we'll see. But this these people in it, are it's stacked. Like, this is probably, I think this could be match of the night, man. Honestly, Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, Tiffany Stratton, Naomi, and a returning Raquel Rodriguez. If you had to guess, let's maybe say final three in this, who do you have? And who do you think is actually going to be the first eliminated? Will it be Naomi?
I think they're going to do a curveball. Raquel is the first eliminated. I think they'll gang up on her because she's a powerhouse in the match, and I think they'll go attack her.
Oh, so you think? I think Bianca is the fucking, like, the powerhouse there. So maybe you eliminate Bianca. I think that would be a shock because we all know Bianca's probably feuding with Jade Cargill at Mania. I mean, they've teased it. I think you have to make Liv Morgan or Tiffany Stratton the runner-up here. Maybe you give the rub to Tiffany because Becky and Tiffany actually have history. So maybe you have the final two be Becky and Tiffany. I think that would be something that's in the cards, but we all know how much Triple H loves Liv Morgan. So who do you think wins this? And who do you think is going to be in the final with her?
Yeah, I think Becky Lynch wins it. And this is the only thing I don't like about that whole WrestleMania kickoff, because if they didn't do that whole thing where Becky and Rhea were doing the face-off, this would have been way more unpredictable. You probably would think Liv Morgan would come out on top, but I think Becky wins this. It's a little too predictable. I think the match is going to be really good, but Becky pins, I'll say Liv Morgan at the end.
Yeah, I'll say Becky pins pins Tiffany, and I agree with you, man. Like, if they didn't do the face-off, I'm looking at this these six contenders here, and it's like, holy shit, like, Bianca could win, Tiffany could maybe upset and have what, she could be the same status that Rhea was a couple years ago when she feuded with Charlotte. I love these people in it, but I think, yeah, Becky Lynch is the predictable outcome. And I also think she probably beats Rhea at Mania. But then we're going to go on here. This is the last match that I have on the sheet. It's for the World Heavyweight Championship number one contender match in the chamber. Winner faces Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. Nick, I actually want to bring this to you. The people involved in this, you know a lot of them. Logan Paul, Kevin Owens, LA Knight, Bobby Lashley, who you grew up on, Randy Orton, who you grew up on, and Drew McIntyre. The winner of this match faces Seth Rollins at WrestleMania for the world title. Who do you want to win? Who do you got winning it?
So, who do I want to win? There's two guys that I want to win this. I want either Randy Orton to win, or I'd like LA Knight to win. Who's probably going to win, for the sake of the business, is probably going to be Logan Paul. I don't want that to be the case. But if he's going to be fighting Seth Rollins, supposedly at WrestleMania, they're going to give him his fucking spot on the stage where they feel like he deserves, and that will make them the most money. They'll make the fucking stupid YouTube star do his thing, jump off a top rope, look like he's a freak of nature and super athletic, and probably give Seth Rollins his break that he deserves. If they want to do it the right way or the smart way, if they're not going to focus solely on the money at the end of the day, you can have Randy win, go and show that he still has something in the tank by beating Seth Rollins. And then say if The Rock does win against Roman or whatever ends up happening with that, or even if Cody ends up winning when it's all said and done, you could have a Randy versus Cody thing or a Rock versus Randy thing, which I think would be nostalgic and cool. Or if you want a fresh face, that would be pretty interesting to see, because he'd probably be a heel as a champion. Would be LA Knight, because him as a heel and putting him finally at a top and have his moment at WrestleMania, I think that would be pretty cool too.
Yeah, there's a lot of things they could do with this. Like, Seth Rollins doesn't have to be the champ going into WrestleMania. Exactly. They can have The Rock and Roman do a number on him when he least expects it. He has a bad knee. Damian Priest cashes in, let's say on Monday or even on Saturday, and they have a new champ. And the winner of this becomes more unlikely that they'll have LA Knight and Seth Rollins. So if it's Damian Priest, maybe LA Knight wins it, goes to Raw. That would be a nice story. But if it's Seth Rollins at WrestleMania, I'll lean more towards Drew McIntyre, just because he's been a little bit of a prick. And he's been playing one so well, just pissing off CM Punk. It worked. Seth Rollins, he's just been egging him on. Cody. So I'd love for Drew to get his moment in front of fans this time.
Yeah, I'll agree. I think Drew McIntyre, as much as like I want to see Randy Orton win or even an LA Knight, I just think Drew McIntyre is just on another tear right now, just coming out, beating everybody's heroes every week, beating Sami Zayn, beating Cody Rhodes, telling CM Punk, I prayed for your injury and it came, and he has a shirt, and it's just so funny. And again, we look back at 2020, man. Drew McIntyre faced Brock Lesnar in the main event. No crowd. I think Vince McMahon definitely wished that there was a crowd at that time. Drew McIntyre was built to be the next face of the company, and unfortunately, without the crowd, it fell flat. But you make a really good point where Seth might not even be champion going into WrestleMania. If you do Damian Priest versus, again, we saw on Raw, Damian and Drew have had their face-to-face matches there. So Drew is the type of guy in this match where I think, let's say he wins, he has a history with either Priest or Rollins. So it's a win-win. But I would love to see Randy Orton win. Go on to WrestleMania, win the World Heavyweight title like it's fucking 2004 Toronto SummerSlam again.
I mean, at this rate, with everything that you guys are saying about Drew McIntyre, yeah, he's definitely deserving of it considering what happened last time. But at this rate for him, it feels like it's a now or never moment for him.
Absolutely.
So if it is going to be now and make it everything that it needs to be for him so he can have his moment. If not, then it's not going to fucking happen. So
yeah, and it sucks too, because like the only guy we haven't talked about is Kevin Owens and Bobby Lashley, and Kevin Owens has main evented WrestleMania the last back two back, straight yeah. years. So that's funny, but Bobby Lashley, man, like no offense to him, but why is he in this match? Yeah,
he's stuck in a feud with Karrion Kross, so I don't think he's going to be in this, unfortunately. He's just there to take a pin. But yeah, Kevin Owens, like, even though he's not right now in a big program, you can look at the last 2 years. Like, I main evented with Stone Cold.
Beautiful.
At one WrestleMania, and then the next year, main evented in a tag team match. So I don't think Kevin Owens, like, I know it's nice to main event every year, but I think he knows it's inevitable at some point.
Yeah, well, we set our predictions for the Chamber, guys. Make sure you watch it. I don't know if you're going to get up for it. It is in Australia, but it's going to be an exciting show nonetheless.